25 years ago today, the king of rock and roll, Elvis Aaron Presley, died, leaving millions of fans stunned.
He was so young, and he was only 42, and he had so much to live for, you know. And we think that we came down here, you know, from St. Louis, and we came to see his house and everything, and here we're seeing his funeral.
Today, just as on that August day in 1977, tens of thousands have made a pilgrimage to Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee, to mark the anniversary of Elvis Presley's death. NPR's Jean Cochran is there and joins us now. Hello, Jean.
Hi, John.
Jean, we should say you're there not as a reporter, but because you're an Elvis fan, right?
That's right. That's right. I've turned into an Elvis fan in the last 6 months or so. Pretty diehard. I don't know what it does to you, but he just gets you.
Describe the scene at Graceland. You're at Graceland right now, right?
Yeah, I'm at Graceland. I'm at the Meditation Gardens, and I just finished the tour of the house, and so it kind of brings you out to the Meditation Gardens as the last thing, and there are lots of people just kind of knowing quietly here, looking at the flowers and the teddy bears and all the messages from all over the world, and thinking their thoughts about Elvis today.
Describe the people who are there.
More foreign accents than you can imagine, or languages. Czechoslovakian, I heard a lot today. Australian, it seems like every other person I talk to is Australian or British. Amongst good old Americans, I mean, it's a very international and very family-oriented group here.
And what do people look like? Are people dressed up in 1950s Elvis regalia, or are people mostly just normal people?
It's pretty normal tourist garb of shorts and shirts and lots of Elvis. Everybody's got their Elvis T-shirts on and Elvis buttons, and most everybody is wearing something Elvis today. Mm-hmm. I have my little collector's club pin on, so I qualify.
Jean, I understand that you were at the vigil last night. Tell us what that was like.
There was just a good, quiet crowd with candles outside the gates and a speaker playing Elvis, more quiet music like gospel music, How Great Thou Art, or I Can't Help Falling in Love. A voice read the 23rd Psalm, and there was a moment of silence. But people were there for hours, waiting to get in to walk past this Meditation Gardens and pay their respects.
One last question.
Yeah.
Why do people celebrate this day, Elvis Presley's death? Why not his birthday?
Well, I think that that sprang up from the day after he died, a spontaneous vigil began, because people just gathered out by the hundreds and thousands outside of Graceland with their candles, and has been going on ever since. And so people choose this time to remember Elvis instead of what most people do on birthdays, but they really pay tribute on the day of his tragic premature death, I think is how everybody feels.
NPR's Jean Cochran at Graceland. Thanks, Jean.
Sure, John. Glad to do it. Hey, John, tonight I'm so excited because I'm going to the Elvis concert. And like the song Good Rockin' Tonight, I think tonight I'll know a mighty, mighty man. It's going to be a great time.
Have a good time, Gene.
Okay.
Well, I heard the news. That's good to rockin' tonight. Well, I heard the news. That's good to rockin' tonight. I'm gonna hold my baby as tight as I can. Tonight she'll know I'm a mighty, mighty man. I heard the news, there's good to rockin' tonight. I say, oh, meet me in a hurry behind the bar. Don't you be afraid that I'll do you no harm. I want you to bring along my rockin' shoes, cause tonight I'm gonna rock away all the blues. I heard the news, there's good to rockin' tonight.
When a man becomes an icon, it's easy to forget that he was once just a man. A new book called The Elvis Treasures, written by Robert Gordon, helps us remember there was a real person named Elvis Aaron Presley. It's a different sort of biography. Included in the book are removable replicas of items from Elvis's life. things like a grade school library card, Elvis's first contract with RCA, his Social Security card, and love letters he wrote. There's also an accompanying CD of interviews recorded over three decades, from 1955 to 1972. Here's an excerpt from a radio interview with an innocent 20-year-old Elvis in Jacksonville, Florida, in May of 1955.
Elvis, you are thought of a bebop artist more than anything else, aren't you? Is that what you'd call you?
Well, I never have given myself a name, but a lot of the disc jockeys call me bopping hillbilly and bebop. I don't know what.
Sort of a combination of things, but I've seen you perform, and you're a terrific performer.
By 1956, after Elvis had been in the business for 2 years, he was interviewed by a local DJ in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Before we get away, we'd like to ask you a little bit about your favorite music. What type of music really appeals to you?
I like different types. I like rock and roll and hillbilly, pop. Some classical. I like a different kind of music. I like anything, any kind, if it's good, you know.
What's your opinion on this rock and roll phase that's going through the country right now?
Rock and roll has been in for about 5 years. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it's going to last because I don't know. All I can say is that it's good, the people like it, it's selling.
Uh-huh.
It might change, like years ago when the Charleston was real popular, the vaudeville act, stuff like that. And maybe 4 or 5 years from now, rock and roll will be dead.
But as far as rock and roll goes, you really like it, huh?
As far as rock and roll goes, I really like it. I enjoy doing it. And the people have really accepted it great. And it just makes me want to knock myself out to keep giving them something to enjoy.
Well, that's fine, Elvis. And I noticed
rock and roll didn't die. But 6 years later, it was clear that fame was taking its toll on Elvis. In September of 1962, a 27-year-old Elvis sounds a long way from the innocent teen idol. In this interview with Parade magazine, he's asked if he'll ever get married.
I can only answer you by saying I'd like to get married. I'd like to have a family, but it's true. It's definitely true. Well, it's a normal thing to do. I mean, who wants to grow old and be alone? You know what I mean? There are times when you have to be alone in a room and you need somebody with you. But I mean, I'm in no big hurry. I have to.
5 years later, Elvis married Priscilla Beaulieu. They were divorced in October 1973. In addition to 60 minutes of interviews and conversations, music historian Robert Gordon's new book, The Elvis Treasures, features memorabilia from Elvis's life and career.
I like the handwritten stuff because that stuff takes me closer to the man. He's as popular as he's ever been, just about. And I feel like, in large part, the icon and the myth have subsumed the man. You know, let's think about Elvis, the person who made these songs and who was this entertainer and this film star. And so the handwritten stuff, the letters, the football plays, the notes on the press releases, those take me nearer to the person. And that's what excited me.
Let's go to that love letter to a woman named Anita Wood, I guess. Why don't you read for us what you think is the most interesting or revealing part of that letter that really gets us to who Elvis really was?
Here's a nice line. First of all, I don't really know how you feel about me now, because after all, 2 years is a long time in a young girl's life. But I want you to know that in spite of our being apart, I have developed a love for you that cannot be equaled or surpassed by anyone. You know, in a way, he's getting lost here in his own writing. It's, you know, when an artist is creating and the spirit is taking over, he's just, you know, he's suddenly finding himself writing about love. And it goes on for, you know, several handwritten pages in that vein.
There are some other handwritten items in the book or copies of handwritten items in the book. You mentioned football plays. Tell us about those.
Elvis was raised in a public housing project in Memphis, and there was a big group of kids there, and they played touch football. And even after Elvis was living in Hollywood and was a film star, he kept a football game going just about every Sunday. They called it touch football, but if that was touch, they were pretty rough. And to me, it's a way that he kept in touch with his childhood, you know, his earliest days, in a way, with his innocence. You know, in a way, you want to think, like, if he were around now, he'd be there, you know, he'd be an armchair quarterback.
In the final interview on the CD, a press conference in 1972, he talks about not having any privacy. And there's sort of an irony here that ultimately his fans are even reading his love letter to Anita Wood.
You know, we really thought about, long and hard about publishing that letter to Anita Wood. I guess, you know, the fact that 25 years have passed since he died, we felt like it was okay. But in a way, we also felt this was intended as a private thing and maybe it shouldn't be published. It was a hard decision to make. We dwelled on it a lot.
Robert Gordon is author of The Elvis Treasures.
Do you think an entertainer should be asked about his personal life?
Well, let's face the facts. Anybody that's in the public eye is, their life is never private. I mean, everything you do, the public knows about it, and that's the way it's always been, that's the way it'll always be.
Elvis Presley speaking at Madison Square Garden in New York City in 1972.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe a word I say? We can't go on together with suspicious minds, and we can build our dreams on suspicious.
Suspicious Minds was a number one single in 1969. To hear the original 1977 report of Elvis's death and some of his songs, go to our website, npr.org.